Jesus' name, for the word. We thank you, Father God, that the word that you have for us in this due season that will resonate and be revealed to our hearts in a major and a magnanimous and maximum way in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father God. Thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit who will unveil and unfold the word of God into our spirit. We thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that that anointing will break and destroy every yoke of bondage. We thank you that you will set our hearts back on fire again for you in Jesus' name. We give you all the glory, all of the honor, and all the praise. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
And amen. Our theme, and it's called revival. Everybody say revival. So today is a call to a higher commitment to be the church. So buckle your seatbelts. Put on your gloves if your hands are cold and you're going to be nervous. But this is a call to a higher commitment to be the church. So over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about subjects that have to do with initiating a process where we become all in for the Lord. You know, the things that have occurred in the pandemic, perhaps the church more so than anything else, because we've been paralyzed through fear. We've been poisoned through fleshly deeds and activities, and we've been polluted through sin. We got to get back onto the altar. We got to get back to say, not my will, but your will be done. We can't ask the Lord to pass the cup to someone else. The cup reflects our not only burden of responsibilities, but also the suffering that we must endure and enjoy as a church family and as a Christian believer. And as today's title is, I want to use it metaphorically to give you a concept of where we need to go, is from Sesame Street to Azusa Street. And as communion today, I want you to think about and for the allure that the struggles and the sin and shame of our culture has been beckoning us and telling us how to get to Sesame Street. But we need to respond to the Holy Spirit and the call of God through the word that says, let us go back to Azusa Street. Verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 1, it says, wherefore I also, after I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his in the saints, and what the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he brought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him in his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, power, and dominion, every name that is named, not only this world, but that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all and all. Now I want to read verse 23 in the Message translation, in the Message paraphrase. It says, all this energy issues from Christ. God raised him from death and set him on a throne in deep heaven, in charge of running the universe. Jesus is Lord. Amen. Everybody say, Jesus is Lord. He's in charge of running the universe. Everything from galaxies to governments. No name and no power exempt from his rule. Everybody say, we're not exempt. And not just for the time being, but forever. He is in charge of it all. He has the final word on everything. Who does? Jesus. At the center of all this, listen to this, Christ rules the church. To the world. The world is peripheral to the church. Body. In which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. So today, friends, family, loved ones, as we get before the altar of the Lord today and take communion together, I would like us to hear the call of the Lord to come from Sesame Street back to Azusa Street. As we consecrate ourselves in that process of to be the church our Lord has created and called us to be. See, our Father God doesn't just want us to come to church. And yes, we should be desirous, we should be diligent, we should be dedicated to attend church. Hebrews 10:25 tells us this, not forsaking or neglecting to assemble. Now, when people forsake or neglect assembling, that's not the will of God. But he said, as is the habit of some people, but admonishing, warning, urging, encouraging one another at all times, and all the more faithfully as you see the day approaching. But see, coming to church is one thing, but more importantly, be the church as we close this year and transition into 2021. So it's time for us to be the triumphant church, the victorious Christian believer and Christ follower, and not be a troubled church or a victimized Christian believer. This is our time. Our season to display Christ's rule through us as a power-filled church on Azusa Street. There haven't been many courageous heroes who haven't stood up during this year's craziness, conflict, chaos, and crisis in 2020. But it's time, friends. It's time for a new group of Holy Ghost heroes who appear to and ascend to on the scene of our community and our cities. Christians who are full of the fire and power of God. Dear friends, the testimony of Azusa Street Mack truck, William Daddy Seymour, as he was commonly endeared with Daddy Seymour, saw the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at the turn of the century in the 1900s. Had not our advantages. He didn't have our advantages. But we have none of his results. The glory of God turned a rundown hall, listen to me, into a magnet for the entire world. People came from all over the world to see and to see the glory. Praise the Lord. Today, that movement, that Pentecostal movement, is 650 million of born again, spirit filled, Holy Ghost baptized believers. See, modern experts now have tried to teach us how to trick people into coming to church, about certain tactics to get to the church. But at Azusa Street, they stampeded the altar, drawn by God alone, without any tricks or marketing schemes. Brother Seymour began the most powerful outpouring of the Holy Spirit in modern history in an old rented building that was once a horse stable, an animal stable. It was so primitive that many times he would pray with his head hidden between two wooden milk crates that served as his pulpit. He was known to put the box over his head as a preacher. Then heaven would burst open and the presence of God would fall on those presents. It wasn't a choreographed meeting. It wasn't a slick presentation. It was raw glory and power from God. Can you say amen? Amen. We want to get back to Azusa Street where we come and we assemble as the church and see his power and see his glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the Amplified Bible, because we have a choice to make today. When we take communion, we can say, decide and be a troubled church and really be a terrible Christian. Go to Azusa Street and be the triumphant church and live as a victorious. What we have to do, it says it here in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 and 5, it says, the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood. Our weapons are divinely powerful of the destruction of fortress. We are destroying sophisticated arguments. Change mics, I guess. Praise God. And every high, every exalted and proud thing that sets itself against the true knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought and purpose captive to the obedience of Christ. See, when we're camping out at Sesame Street, we're fooled by society and modern culture that says we are too sophisticated for Pentecost. But on Azusa Street, we think and believe that we have to destroy and dismantle those sophisticated arguments and exalted, proud thoughts. On Sesame Street, the silliness of our human designs and our human efforts task us, and our litany of sermon notes torture us because we think it's another sermon I need to take notes on. Nothing wrong with taking notes. But if it doesn't translate into living truth, then those notes torture us. Because we're still trying to figure out what's the secret or the shortcut to power, to productivity. But on Azusa Street, the glory, fire, and power propels us into a new territory in and for the kingdom of God. Acts 1:8 says, we shall be received power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon us. Amplified says, we shall receive ability, efficiency, and might after that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit has come upon us, and we shall be witnesses unto men, Jesus Christ our Lord, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. See, on Azusa Street, we discuss and discover only the way we can be an effective witness is by the Holy Spirit. How can I be a witness? By the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit. How can I do my job and carry out my role and responsibility to reach the lost? By the Holy Ghost. By the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Somebody say glory to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5, it says it this way. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, and my language and my message were not set forth in persuasive, enticing, and plausible words of wisdom, but they were in demonstration of the Holy Spirit and power, a proof by the Holy Spirit and power of God operating on me and stirring the minds of my hearers, the most holy emotions, and thus persuading them, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of human wisdom of men, human philosophy, but in the power of God. We got to get back to the power of God, the Holy Ghost power, and get away from human philosophies and good ideas that are not necessarily God ideas. See, on Sesame Street, we are troubled. On Azusa Street, we are triumphant. On Sesame Street, we operate and function based on feelings and flesh. You know, Cookie Monster wants his cookies. Elmo wants to be tickled. Big Bird wants his seeds. Everybody comes to get and do what they want. It's feelings. If I don't feel like singing, I don't do it. If I don't feel like praising, I don't do it. If I don't feel like taking notes today, I don't do it. If I don't feel like I want to pay attention, I surf the internet with my phone or my device. I get distracted. I play a video game. We're still on Azusa Street if we think about our three favorite people, me, myself, and I. Praise God. On Azusa Street, we flow and follow the Holy Spirit. In other words, on Sesame Street, we lavish and live in carnality. Sin's no big deal when you're on Azusa Street, because we're just all having fun. It's all, we all are weak in our flesh. We all have these crazy feelings right now. And these crazy emotions of fear because of all the things that are going on. So now I got an excuse to be in the flesh and to follow my feelings. And so on Sesame Street, we live in lavish in carnality. But on Azusa Street, we live in spirituality. Romans 8, verse 5 through 8, the New Living Translation, it says, those who are dominated by sinful nature, thinking about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. We just have to examine our conversations sometimes. Sometimes our conversations, even in church, is about carnal things, natural things. We get loud and we get very verbose and we get very loquacious about things that we're a familiarity of flesh, but we don't talk what the Spirit is saying. We don't think about what pleases the Spirit. So let, verse 6, it says, so letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Verse 7, I'm reading out the New Living Translation. It says, for the sinful nature is always hostile to God. Hostility is a posture of defiance, of disrespect, dishonoring, and disobedience to God. I'm opposed to you, God. So I'm not going to do what your word says or your will for me. I'm just going to say what I want. I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to talk how I want. So when you have a sinful nature, when that sin nature is dominated you, you're always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws. It never will. Look at verse 8. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. Like we prayed about this morning, you know, one of the big keys for us to attain in revival is to be humble, humility. Everybody in this room and online is in charge of their humility department. That means you got to self-demote, not self-promote. Some people like the lights, cameras, action of being in the spotlight, being in the center. No, being humble means I push myself out of the center. So I cease from being self-centered, then I push Jesus in the center. Let's talk about the Lord. Let's just not talk about me. Let's talk about the Lord. But most people are in love with their favorite subject, which is themselves. And that can lead to prideful talk. But we got to be humble. We got to stay humble. We got to take the humility three-step every time we come in contact with people. Clothe ourselves in humility. Humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. And cast all of our cares on the Lord. See, when you cast your cares on the Lord, you don't have to give them to other people. And you don't have to talk about them with other people. All the things I care about. Humility. Everybody say humility. And then there has to be holiness. We are all born again. Believers have a position of holiness. That means we've been set apart exclusively for God's use and God's purposes and plans. That means I belong to the Lord. And I am his property. My body is his property. My mind is his property. My mouth is his property. My marriage is his property. My life is yours, Lord. I belong to you. But now we have to live it behaviorally. Positionally, we're holy, but we have to live behaviorally holy. That means we have to ensure that I maintain spiritual purity. Come on now. Sexual purity. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
And financial purity. That means I need to make sure I'm pure on at least those three dimensions. Amen. My degree of purity determines my level of glory. He said, follow peace with all men, the Bible says. Without holiness, no man should see the Lord. We got to have a holiness standard of life, of living. Not only in our hearts and our thoughts, but in our deeds. In our words. And then the next one would be honesty. The Bible teaches us, lie not against the truth. Speak truth in love. Speak the truth in love. Don't be double taught, have a double tongue. It says anybody serving and leading in the church should not have a double tongue. That means you good words in church, but then you gossip outside the church and grumble outside of the church. That's double tongue. That means you're being dishonest. One of the most dishonorable things you can do to the Lord is tell and live lies. We got to have integrity of heart. Somebody say, glory to God. And then, of course, we have to have honor. We have to live and walk in honor. Yeah, we walk in love, but we have to walk in honor, ladies and gentlemen. As a minister of God was saying, when you don't honor, you dishonor. The Bible says, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. So it's dishonoring when you live the dishonoring status of not tithing, not giving, not being honorable to others, as the scriptures teach and tell us. Don't shout me down, I'm preaching real good today. Amen. On Sesame Street, we think of our own ideas. What I've thought of, what I've come up with. On Azusa Street, we trust the Lord's ideas. In other words, we say, this is what I believe the Lord is telling me. We don't go around and slap the Lord on everything we say and do, but we trust the Lord's ideas and say, Lord, is this what you're thinking through me? Is this what you're coming up with? You may be in a predicament, but you have to gravitate to the God ideas. The God ideas are the Bible truths. They didn't originate from earth. They didn't originate from man. They didn't originate from you. They originated from God. Like 1 Peter 2:24, by whose stripes ye were healed. Now, whose idea was that? That was not Satan's idea. That was not your idea. That was a God idea. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts and plans I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. So God always has a plan. God always has the best plan. God always has the glorious good plan. So how do we get this plan? We have to not try to develop, but just discover, download, and discern his plan. What are we going to do? Well, the Lord God has a plan. That's what we're going to do. What is the Lord saying to do about my life, about my family, about my finances? Well, the God has a plan. See, this verse, Jeremiah 20:11, we said, is a bright verse in a very dark chapter of a dark book. The book of Jeremiah is not necessarily devotional reading. You have to study it, but it is a lot of gloom and doom and a lot of crying. That's why he wrote Lamentations, too, because there's a lot of crying, a lot of sadness. Well, how many of you know there's been a lot of sadness in 2020? A lot of struggles in 2020. A lot of suffering. Some people, it was their own fault, but some people, it was not their fault. They just had to go through stuff. And we're not making excuses for anything, but on Sesame Street, we're thinking the whole world's dark. It's gloom, despair, agony on me. But on Azusa Street, we yell out, God has a plan. He's never caught off guard. Even though things in life may be dark and dim and difficult right now, God has a plan. And he told us how to go get his plan. He said, come to me, seek me, find me, research me with all your heart. So in Azusa Street, we go back to praying and seeking the Lord. Like 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. We got to say, God, we went to everything else. We're watching everything else. We're looking for everything else. We've replaced God with Google. We replaced going to God with Netflix and Facebook. And we got to get back to God. We got to get away from Sesame Street. We were just trying to Google and have good old time. And entertain ourselves, but we got to engage the altar of the Lord. We got to get back to praying with effective, fervent prayer. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. Amen. Praise God. On Sesame Street, we make our own plans. On Azusa Street, we discover and follow his plan. Proverbs 3:5-6. Lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight and understanding. In all your ways, know it, recognize and acknowledge him, and he will direct and make straight and plain your paths. What is this verse telling us? You include the Lord. You don't exclude the Lord. See, on Sesame Street, you're influenced and intoxicated with wine, worry, and wickedness. However, on Azusa Street, you're filled with wisdom. That means I'm not leaning on my own understanding. I trust the Lord with all my heart. You're filled with worship, and you're filled with the will of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 through 20, it says this: do not get drunk with wine. In other words, don't be intoxicated and influenced by the outside world and all of its wickedness. Don't walk around like a silly drunk, not sober and not having clear thoughts and clarity in your mind and focus. He said, don't get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, and ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. That's our standard. That's Azusa Street's command. Speak out to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, offering praise with voices and instruments and making melody with all your heart to the Lord. At all times and for everything, giving thanks to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God the Father. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So on Azusa Street, friends, as we get ready to take communion, we are triumphant, a supernatural triumphant church. It says in Matthew chapter 16, listen to this, Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, it says, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amplified says it this way: I will tell you, you are Peter, Greek Petros, a large piece of rock. And on this rock, Greek Petra, a huge rock like Gibraltar, I will build my church upon that revelation, upon him. He said, and the gates of Hades, the power of the infernal region, shall not overpower it or be strong to its detriment or hold out against it. Now the Passion Translation says this: I will give you the name Peter, a stone, and the truth of who I am will be the bedrock foundation on which I will build my church. The truth of who Jesus is. The truth of who Jesus is. My legislative assembly, the power of death will not be able to overcome it. That means when we assemble, we're a legislative assembly. That means we don't just let things happen around here. We make things happen for the Lord and for the will of the Lord. It's about Jesus. It's not about us. It's about him. See, on Sesame Street, we're stagnant and struggling as a church. On Azusa Street, we are a supernatural church. What does the church look like on Azusa Street? First, it's an oasis of love. We should come feel love. Now, love is a command that we all have. It's a priority and a principle that we should all live by. Walking in love, walking in forgiveness, giving love, forgiving those who stepped out of love. Amen. By this shall all men know that you are my what? Disciples, if you have love one for another. The second example of a church on Azusa Street is a Christ-centered Word and Holy Spirit church. A Christ-centered Word and Holy Spirit church. In other words, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Now, guess what's the opposite or antithesis of that? Where the Spirit of God is not, there is what? Not liberty, but bondage. In other words, on Azusa Street, we have a place where there's no more bondage. There's no more chains that can bound you, that Satan can break your life with and burden your life with, that cannot be removed in the church. And as a part of the church, the gates of hell will not prevail against the triumphant church. Somebody say glory to God. Somebody say hallelujah. That means the word, we base everything on the word of God and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Third, the believer's Bible, a believer's Bible discipleship training center. That means we're not just to come and watch. God didn't call us to be the church that just watches. We have to work. We have to worship. We have to work. We have to worship. In other words, we are disciples. We are disciplined learners and followers of Jesus Christ. We live our whole life under the rule of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And as our opening scripture says in the message, at the center of it all, Christ rules the church. And he's ruling disciples. So we're not found in dereliction of our duties or our devotion to God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Matthew 28 is our great mission. We call it the Great Commission. Matthew 28. Y'all getting something out of this today? Here it says here, and Jesus came and spoke and saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always until the ends of the earth. That's our mission. The Great Commission is not the great suggestion or the great omission. See, if we choose to stay on Sesame Street, friends, we'll get stuck, stagnant, and struggle with three things that are so profound: the lie, the sin, and the wound. What do the lie, the sin, and the wound do? They keep us from and prevent us from enjoying and fully engaging in Jesus. So what is the lie that keeps you from enjoying Jesus? What is the sin that prevents you from engaging fully and going all in for Jesus? What is the wound that you're carrying that's keeping you from enjoying Jesus fully? Say, what lie, what sin or wound is preventing us from enjoying and fully engaging in Jesus? When we say engagement, we're talking about fully committed attendance. That means you're not at church, you're actually in church. And you're engaged in what's going on in church. You know, it's time out for people to be look disengaged or disenchanted or disgruntled or dejected. They're not paying attention. They're falling asleep. We got to come in the room and we got to be present in the room. When we show up, we say, what do I learn? What am I to learn? And who am I to help? We're consistent, generous giving of our time, our talent, our tithes, our offerings, our testimony. We're courageously serving. That means we're not fair weather, or everything's going along nice, or we're always not always looking for the fun thing to do, or the familiar thing to do. There is sacrifice sometimes, and there is suffering sometimes. in service. Because some people say, well, I'm sleepy, or I had to work late. I remember at Rhema, you know, you had a certain time you had to be there. We had to be there at 8:45 in the morning if you're going to usher. Service wasn't until 10:30. But it's difficult sometimes when people on Sesame Street for them to get to church early. They always get to church at the last minute or at the late. When's the time when people are going to start showing up early? But why? Because we're hungry for God. We're motivated to serve. Somebody said, well, I'm on the schedule, so I have to be there. And we come there like we've been just woke up. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching real good today. Hallelujah. And so we can, and then as an engaged Christian, we're compelling in our invitations. That means we don't go a week without sharing about coming to Jesus, inviting people to come to church to hear and see Jesus and receive Jesus. Come on now. We have to create a culture of invitation. We do that on Azusa Street. We neglect that on Sesame Street. Fourthly, a church on Azusa Street is an evangelistic outreach center. That's where we emphasize people being born again, saved, baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, healed, reconciled, revived, and restored. We're looking for God to say something, to do something, and to reveal something in our midst. We're looking and expecting God to do something, to say something, and to reveal something in our midst. So, friends, the world is telling us how to get to Sesame Street. Some of y'all probably remember that song. Can you tell me how to get to Sesame Street? And that's what the major news is telling us. That's what the noise of the circumstances in our lives in this year has told us. And that's what the narrative that has been spun through every platform and agenda is telling us. Get to Sesame Street. Azusa Street's irrelevant. It's outdated. It's obsolete. Why? Because we're smarter now. We have the better ideas now. But I submit to you, the word of the Lord today is telling us to go back to Azusa Street. Now, some of us haven't been filled and drunk on the Holy Spirit in a long time. You need the fire of God again. I'm here to lay hands on everybody who wants it, and we're going to pray for those online, but we need to get back on fire for God. Now, first of all, you got to get the sin out. The Bible says in Titus that the grace of God teaches us to live godly and to abstain from God worldly and ungodly lust. The word of God, the grace of God teaches us to live holy, to live honest, to live honorable, to be humble, to abstain from worldly and godly lusts. Grace is not a cheap excuse or an exemption or a license to sin and disobey God. Some people think, well, I'm on Sesame Street, so I got license. I can live lawless. I can live lustful. I can be loquacious with my mouth and say anything I want to say. I could live and lavish in lust. I'm calling repentance today, calling forth repentance. The Lord said we need to repent at the altar. We need to get the fire of God back in our lives. We need to get the power of God coming back through our hands and our hearts and our habits. We need to go back to Azusa Street. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, everybody stand with me, please, as we pray. Heavenly Father.